Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, Podbean, anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you leave us a review, preferably a 5-star review. Tell your friends to subscribe. Check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. If you want to advertise with us, email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls as well. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, Nico Mirotic revealed to us today at practice where his power comes from.
And it came from?
His beard. I know that's a shock, but one of the reporters asked him if, you know, while he was struggling, he was worried if he was thinking maybe he should shave his beard. And Nico said, never, because I know the power's in the beard.
You know, a devil's advocate would say he doesn't have power at all this year. He's been really bad at basketball.
Right. It's like, if the power's maybe he should do something. If the power's in the beard, like maybe the power has kind of been betraying him a little bit. I don't know. But he had a good game yesterday against the... who'd they play yesterday? The Pistons. Yeah.
Yes.
That's all. The Pistons are so forgettable. I already forgotten who they played.
The infamous my ass quote from Stan.
Yeah,
Van
that
Gundy.
That was the most memorable thing about the Pistons last
night. Well, I had to think for a quick second. I'm like, well, Stan Van Gundy said that, so it must have been Pistons.
Right. No, I.
It was not the jersey on the floor as much as the happenings off of it that make us remember the Detroit Pistons at this point of the season. Not a ton going on at Bulls practice on a normal winter Tuesday afternoon in Chicago.
The one big piece of news, or I guess not big, but the one like tangible piece of news is that Michael Carter-Williams, Fred said, is probably going to return to two-on-two action in practice later this week or this weekend, which would put him at hopefully returning sometime next week. That originally, like, the plan was, you know, that they were hopeful he would be able to play again by Christmas. It sounds like it's a little bit behind that, but yeah, it seems like he's getting there.
Bulls doctor timetables always multiply by a factor of 1.8 to 2.
Always at least add another couple of weeks on when it comes to the Bulls.
It's kind of like, what is it, going from Celsius to Fahrenheit? Like,
you just had to
multiply by 1.8 and add 32 or subtract, something like that, you know? In that regard with Bulls doctor timetables. And you said the big news, and you meant the big news from Bulls practice. You didn't mean it was big news, because remember, we have to be clear with the people that if we consider Michael Carter-Williams' return to be big for the Bulls in any way, that their season and the hope of this season is off course and spiraling in a direction in which there's not going to be a grand amount of success.
Right. This is not nearly as impactful of injury news or recovery news as Blake Griffin having having knee surgery and being out 4 to 6 weeks. That's a little bit more significant than that. Or even Clint Capella. You saw that with the Rockets.
Yeah, he's out 4 to 6 weeks.
He's out for a while too. Yeah, those are both very much more significant injuries. But yeah, I mean, that's what the people want to know. We give the people the news. People who tune into this podcast are Bulls fans. We've got to give them the Michael Carter-Williams daily update.
Yeah, he should be the eighth man when he comes back.
He will help them.
Probably, I would guess, because Nico and Doug's still kind of the first two.
He will help them when he comes back.
Absolutely. And, I mean, he's just a better basketball player than Isaiah Cannon at this point. He's a better basketball player than Jaren Grant. We should remind that Michael Carter-Williams has long been and currently still is a bad shooter, so that's not what he's going to be expected to do. That's what Doug McDermott and Nico Mirotic are expected to do. That's what they did Monday night. Finally, for the Bulls, how was Nico's mood? Like, did his mood seem actually different because he played a good game, or was he still his, more or less usually, his even-keeled self, although he's hard on himself at times, too?
His mood was pretty normal today. He did tell a little story that before the game yesterday, after Fred had told him that he was going to be back in the rotation, he was going to play after he hadn't played in the two games against Milwaukee, Dwayne Wade came to him and said, look, we're going to try to find you some easy looks in the corner to get you going early on. Yeah. And then he said that was something that Wade did for him that he really appreciated, that he thinks helped him.
Dwayne Wade, veteran leadership.
Veteran leadership. That's just, I mean, that's just another example of Wade doing something that's just off the charts helpful for this team.
Yeah, and
because if the Bulls can get Nico going, and again, I'm sounding like Fred there with the, and again, well, again, but he, but, you know, the Bulls need Nico if they're going to be as successful as they want to be this season. And if they can get him going, obviously this is just one game that he had last night that was better than he's been lately, but if they can get him going and he can start putting together a few games like this on a consistent level where he's shooting like he'd shot last night, then that'll be huge.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that Dwayne Wade kind of stepped up there and gave him some words of encouragement. That's kind of the mental aspect, the intangible idea. A lot of the tangible opportunity on the court comes because of Dwayne Wade's play, but also because Jimmy Butler has continued to be brilliant and helps open up the court for guys like Nico. And I will say, opens up the court too for Doug, two guys they really expect a lot out of there off the bench. But what Jimmy does this year has been nothing short of continued brilliance again. And along those lines, you wrote some big picture stuff on Jimmy Butler and the new CBA that has been verbally agreed to in the NBA and the effect of the new CBA that should be ratified by both sides, the union and the league, in January is the hope, and then would go into effect, what, July 1st, 2017, for the 17-18 season. So there's some new rules that are expected in that. There's just the formality of approving it on both sides left. But you wrote about how this affects Jimmy Butler because it could keep him in Chicago longer than maybe you'd expect, because the new CBA rules that have been agreed to, the policies, are making it more difficult for stars to leave their teams when they're in their eighth and ninth year in the league, because owners and teams can now throw a even bigger pile of money at the team that they're with. The team that they're with can throw a bigger pile of money at them than outside suitors, correct, Sean?
Yeah, and I wrote a piece on this this morning at The Athletic, which you should all go and check out, and make sure you subscribe to The Athletic if you're not already. But essentially, the NBA wants to make it harder for something like, you know, Kevin Durant going and joining the Golden State Warriors. They want to make it harder for that to happen. And so they've made these, they put in this new rule that says that the team that either drafted a player or traded for a player on his rookie contract, or how James Harden is sort of grandfathered into being able to sign these kinds of extensions with the Rockets, even though he was drafted by the Thunder.
It's the designated player
exception. And it's essentially a veteran version of the Rose Rule, which is how Derrick Rose got that huge extension that he got in 2011 coming off his MVP year. If you'll remember, the rule that they put in for the rookie scale extensions in the 2011 CBA was that if you met certain criteria, which is either you win MVP, you get voted as an all-star starter twice, or you make All-NBA twice over the course of your rookie contract, you can get an even bigger
percentage
of the salary cap than you could previously on your max deal. That's how Derek got his deal. That's how Blake Griffin got his deal with the Clippers. Paul George got one with the Pacers. You know, a few of these guys have gotten those. And now they've basically made it so that in their eighth and ninth years, a veteran can get one of those deals too, if it's somebody that, and I think the requirement, they got rid of the all-star voting requirement of this, which is good, because that's, you know, Zaza Pachulia almost got voted as a starter in the all-star game. That should not be deciding these guys making millions and millions of more dollars versus not. But basically, in order to qualify for the designated veteran exception, you have to either, you have to be in at least your eighth or ninth year. You have to have made All-NBA or win Defensive Player of the Year two of the previous 3 years, or win MVP in any one of the previous 3 years, or you can have any of those honors in the exact prior year. So if your contract is up and you made All-NBA in that year, it doesn't matter if you hadn't made it two of the 3 years before that, if you made it in the most recent year before you signed the extension, you can get this extension. What this extension does is it gives you 35% of the salary cap is your starting salary, as opposed to 30%. So basically, as this relates to the Bulls, Jimmy Butler last summer, 2015, signed a 5-year, $94 million extension, which was a max deal at the time. Obviously, now players are making a lot more money because they had the massive salary cap spike this summer. And Jimmy has a player option for the 2019-20 season, which means he will essentially become a free agent in 2019. by that point, he will have come off his eighth season in the NBA. And if he makes All-NBA, which I think is I think he's probably pretty likely to make All-NBA this year, one of the three All-NBA teams.
Especially. Yeah, you got to be one of the top 15 players in the league, essentially.
Which I think he has been, especially if you count him as a forward, as opposed to a guard, because I think the guard group... I mean, there's going to be insane competition, and if Jimmy gets hurt or falls off, then he's not going to be able... Let's assume Jimmy stays healthy for the season and keeps up the level of play that he's had so far this year. I think it's a pretty safe bet that he makes All-NBA, one of the three teams. And then after that, he'll only have to make it one out of the next two seasons, which I think is, again, not a guarantee, but it's very doable for him. And if he does that, then the next contract that the Bulls will be able to offer him in 2019 will be able to start at 35% of the cap, which by then, according to a report from Shams Charania at The Vertical today, will be around $40 million a year to start this contract, which is a lot more than any other team. First of all, any other team can only offer him a four-year deal. The Bulls could offer him a five-year deal. This is several years down the line, but essentially, it's going to be so much harder. Jimmy could leave if he wanted to in 2019, but he would have to leave so much money on the table that it's almost impossible to imagine him actually doing that.
Yeah, there's a couple other notes here. The team that retains a player can offer 8% raises, I believe, right?
Uh-huh.
And the new team can, outside suitors, can only offer 5% raises in that extra year. For example, I was reading an article on ESPN. They cited the difference. Steph Curry in 2017 could do this with the Warriors. What other teams could offer him, the difference was in the final contract, $76, $77 million, and maybe even more than that because you don't know the exact salary cap numbers, I think, when that article was written. So you're looking... I mean, maybe on a Jimmy deal, like, they're between $80 million or something.
Right.
And the point
it's
of this
It's a lot rule, of money to leave on the table if you decide to sign somewhere else.
The big change in this is before, like, the NBA made it very easy and beneficial for teams to keep players coming off their first contract, that rookie deal. Now they're making it really easy to do it off the second contract and keep your star player under lock and key for 13, 14 years before they have a great reason to hit the open market. So, Jimmy Butler has said, I mean, previously, he wanted to be in Chicago. There were those trade rumors in the offseason, and he was asked about them a little bit. And I think Jimmy, again, every time he was asked about that, kind of said, I like Chicago. I also understand it's a business, right?
Right.
So, I mean, look, he was quickly thrown in the first time he was the restricted free agent, first time he hit the market. Quickly heard stories about the Los Angeles Lakers are interested in Jimmy. He spends his off seasons there. He has become one of the faces of the NBA. He's in a lot of commercials now. You know what I mean?
Marky Mark got him that role in the movie Office, like, Christmas Party.
He's got a lot of friends across the NBA. Was on Team USA. Is boys with some people from there. So, like, it's not inconceivable to think that Jimmy Butler would have hit the open market in 2019 and left the Bulls. Like, that was very much in play. That's far less in play.
I mean, it's
far less
in play. It's less in play now because he would just have to leave so much money. And I know even if he could get $140 million from another team, if he can get $220 from the Bulls, that's still $80 million to leave on the table, even though the contract he could sign with another team is still, you know, $120 million or $140 million or whatever. That's still so much money to leave on the table. I wouldn't leave that much money on the table. I don't know about you.
Oh, no situation is irrational.
That's so much money.
I mean, we sit here and we're like, you know, I mean, if I had $140 million, what's another $80 million?
But that is...
We can't even...
You know what that is? That's another $80 million. That's so much extra money. I would never...
It depends what's important to a person at that point. You know, maybe winning is the most important thing, and there are multiple better situations to win in at that
but
point.
The thing is the other thing with Jimmy being here is that he has such an opportunity here to, you know, he's with Jordan Brand, and you know, Jordan I think really likes having a Jordan Brand athlete in Chicago playing for the Bulls, because obviously Michael Jordan was the face of Jordan, so it's like, I mean, I think there will be a lot of incentive for him to stay in Chicago. And again, this is several years down the line. This is not any kind of an imminent discussion, but
it's a good thing for the Bulls.
The CBA was agreed to this week or last week. The stuff is starting to come out about it now, so it's worth kind of digging into it now. And yeah, it benefits the Bulls because the Bulls are going to be able to offer him more money than anybody else, and there's a lower likelihood that he would decide to leave.
Yeah, and to be clear, this is a very, very select group of players for which this designated player exception.
Well, right, and that's
the second contract is really geared at, and Jimmy is right there in the zone with guys like Steph Curry, with guys like Paul George, because it's retaining those guys in that eighth and ninth year is where it's at, because that's where guys have been leaving, like Kevin Durant, LeBron James in free agency, Carmelo Anthony. They leave their teams at that point in their career, and that's when they get away. So that the Bulls have one of these guys, because only a few teams in the NBA really have guys where this makes a lot of sense for, mm-hmm. and can qualify for these All-NBA just nominations and honors to get this. So, like, not many teams can take advantage of this, but the Bulls can.
Right, but and this is, again, if Jimmy makes
two All-NBA teams in the next
which
three
is
years.
Like, oh, all you have to do is make All-NBA two of the next. But, again, we talked about this. He is pretty likely, if he stays healthy, it's pretty likely he'll make it this year, and then he'll only have to make it one of the next 2 years, which I think is possible.
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked about this, like, we've had the conversation, is Jimmy Butler, he's knocking on that top 10 player in the NBA door, because he's a two-way player, you know? And now he's a two-way player averaging 25 points a game,
so here's,
which is a big jump.
So here's the thing. He's in terms of his All-NBA competition, obviously, if we're calling him a forward, which he's mostly been playing small forward this year,
yeah,
because Dwayne Wade's on the team. So if we're calling him a forward, obviously LeBron and Durant are going to be the first team
guys.
Kawhi is going to be on there.
Draymond
will be on there. Paul George will be on there. And then
Blake Griffin would be in
Blake
the picture
Griffin
if he
just
hadn't
had
hurt.
The thing is Blake Griffin just had knee surgery, and so he's going to be out for 6 weeks. That'll probably impact his chances. Then you're talking about Giannis maybe being a candidate.
Is Anthony Davis slotted?
I would
where?
Call him a center. Just I could see that one going either way. But
yeah.
You know, Jimmy, I think, has as good of a case as anybody. The numbers he's putting up, and especially if this Bulls team that I think everybody thought was going to not be great before the season started. If they could get to the playoffs, that's going to make what Jimmy did, and he keeps putting up these numbers, that's going to make, especially with the workload that he has, I think that's going to impress a lot of the voters. So
yeah, and I mean, some of this...
He's pretty much a lock to make another All-Star team this year, so...
Yeah, and the All-Star, that'll be his, what, third straight, I believe?
Third straight.
This year.
He didn't play in the game last year because he had the knee injury, but
right.
Yeah, his third straight All-Star selection.
Yeah, so, I mean, Jimmy is... I think it's a good bet that he'll accomplish that, because the one thing about Jimmy is he works so hard, and at no point in his career in the NBA has he done anything except vault up on a... His stock's risen every single offseason.
He's just a humble kid from Tomball, Texas, Cody.
He hasn't even dropped that line lately.
No, he hasn't. I think he's more...
Like,
I think
it is a transformation into a star player, because he's not... I'm not saying that has anything to do
he's
with
not,
him
he,
forgetting
it's
his
not,
roots.
You're not saying he's not a humble kid from Tomball, Texas anymore, but...
I'm just saying he used to cite it all the time, and like he'd go out of his way on questions to cite it, and now he's not. I mean, it's just the entire transformation of him, I think, into a star role. So, again, helpful for the Bulls, and some point down the line, I'm sure we'll ask a little bit more to Jimmy about that. I know a lot of players hadn't even got a chance to read the CBA.
I'm pretty sure he would. I'm sure he probably wouldn't react to it very well if we asked him about it now.
Yeah, well, Draymond Green was happy to be asked about the CBA the other day, and by happy, I mean he wanted to be asked, although he wasn't happy in all his responses.
No.
I also don't think many players have talked to their agents about the practicality of what it means for them.
I think most of these guys are just happy that there's not going to be a lockout, and I know most fans and media are happy there's not going to be a lockout, too, because 2011 was miserable, and then that schedule was just awful. They had back-to-back-to-back, started on Christmas, 66-game schedule, had crammed into the same time, and it was just, it was bad.
It very much was so. What else, Sean? Did anything else stick out to us? The Bulls have the Wizards on Wednesday night at the United Center.
Another team just kind of
12-15 Wizards.
Another team just kind of in that cluster of sort of playoff / bubble teams in the Eastern Conference. We talked about that a little bit yesterday, that there's two teams we know are good and two or three teams that we know are bad, and everybody else is just sort of in the middle. The Wizards had a good win a few days ago against the Clippers, so like they've been better lately than they had been a few weeks ago.
Yeah, they won five of their last seven.
Yeah.
So the John Wall, Brad Beal pairing, like we said before the year, we were just astounded that they went on record saying they really didn't like each other on the basketball court, and they didn't hang out with each other off the basketball court, which is just absolutely fascinating. But, I mean, they're both scoring a lot of points, over 20 points a game, and starting to figure it out a little bit more. Did want to take a couple questions from you guys. You can find us on Locked On, at Locked On Bulls on Twitter. We also have a Facebook page, at Locked On Bulls, if you'd like to follow the podcast there and leave any comments or find the episodes. But number one Bulls fans asks, why has Bobby Portis looked like this? He looked so great in the summer league. When he says, why has he looked like this, he means stagnated growth and
why has he been
not
bad,
much development at all.
Well, I mean, saying he looked good in the summer league, you really can't read, and we've been over this, you can't really read anything into that. You know, plenty of guys have looked good in summer league because you're playing against, you know, you're playing against some NBA players on those summer league teams, but a lot of them are just kind of, you know, fringe D-League or undrafted guys who are going to end up playing overseas. Like, it's not the same level of competition. And yeah, Bobby, I think he's a very skilled player. He just does not have, he hasn't really figured out how to put all that together yet, and I don't know when he's going to. I think it's too early to write him off as a rotation player in the NBA, but you know, he definitely has not been what the Bulls had hoped he was going to be.
Yeah, and he fell out of the rotation again on Monday night, basically because he only played in garbage time or whatnot after he'd had a chance a little more with Nico being benched in a couple games. But look, he's not a two-way player at this point.
No.
I think teams figured him out offensively a little bit. That jumper that he seemed to make a little bit more when he was playing well, you know, he threw up some, 18-8 games as a rookie year, go out there, get 12-6, and it felt like he was knocking down that free throw line jumper. That doesn't seem to be going down as much to me. And, you know, once guys, I think his motor took people by surprise a little bit at first, but once guys know they have to work their butt off to take away what you do best, they're more likely to make sure they do that, to make sure maybe they put a body on you, because that's what the scouting report says. Just box this guy out. Don't let him get any kind of garbage buckets and cleaning up the glass and everything. So he's got to adjust, and like I said this quite a few times, I think, of the offseason, like, he's got to get a couple post moves. He's got that little righty hook. But he's got to work on that footwork, and he's got to get a counter move. Like, you got to have something turning to your right and doing something with your left hand, I think, which he hasn't displayed much of an ability to do. And look, footwork's really hard. Like, that's the nuance of the game, the stuff that takes time, the stuff that's not fun to work on. And, like, how many big men a year get sent to Hakeem Olajuwon to, like, work on their footwork?
He's made a lot of money off of, Dwight Howard or DeAndre Jordan or whoever just being... Or I think both of the Lopez twins. Maybe should ask Robin about that.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure... Maybe it was just Brooke, but I think both of the Lopez twins went to Hakeem's summer camp at one point.
I mean, we've talked in the past about how MJ and Kobe transformed their games to be phenomenal post players, their post-up skills in addition to everything they brought elsewhere on the basketball court. And like, it took years and years and years to master that from a young age, and so much focus. And honestly, I don't think Bobby Portis has had that much focus on post work and skills in college, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, it seemed like Arkansas played in a little bit more of a up-tempo spread offense. He was outside on the perimeter shooting. I mean, that was one of the things they touted, was his outside shooting ability when he came here. So maybe it's the focus more on those skills that matter at a greater level in the NBA than they did in college. One of those things, maybe even where a spread quarterback in college doesn't have those pro-style skills at quarterback in the NFL. Maybe a little bit of a parallel there, a connection to the NBA in this regard. So he's got to work on those skills in many regards, the stuff that's fun, the stuff that's not fun. And I think that's a long development, but look, we've talked about 100 times, Bulls are invested in him. So they want to give him another chance this year. Right now, that chance is going to Nico and Chris Felicio. Do you have a prediction, Sean, for Bulls-Wizards Wednesday night at the United Center?
I think the Bulls will win.
Oh, back on the Bulls winning bandwagon?
I'm back on the Bulls winning. Well, I don't know if they're going to get any wins on the two-game road swing. It's Charlotte and then San Antonio on Christmas. Maybe they'll win in San Antonio because they tend to beat good teams.
They did beat the Thunder on Christmas.
They beat the Thunder on Christmas last year, yep. Yeah. I mean, we'll see, but I mean, no, I think they beat the Wizards tomorrow.
Yeah, I think the Bulls are a better basketball team in Chicago than the Wizards are a better basketball team in Chicago. So we'll be at the United Center then. I gotta say, I was the first to predict the Bulls would beat the Pistons. I think I said by four.
They won by 31. They won by a little bit more than four.
So I'm on one game.
You get partial prediction. You made one or two free throws.
I'll take what I can get. But thanks for listening. As always, remember you can email us at LockedOnBulls with any advertising inquiries, any basketball questions, any questions you got in general about the league. We're happy to answer those anytime we can. We hope you have a phenomenal holiday festivity and seeing your family and such. I'll be going home for a few days, so I think the podcast is going to take Thursday through Sunday off after we have a post-game Wednesday.
I think the plan is we're going to record tomorrow after the Wizards game, and then I think the next episode we're going to do is Monday after the Pacers game.
Yep, two colossal Titans opponents.
Hey, they're both teams in the same cluster in the East that the Bulls need to be beating in order to get maybe some tiebreakers are at stake with seeding.
That will be a common season-long theme. But follow Sean on Twitter at Hyken. Follow myself at Cody Westerlund, and most of all, please subscribe to the podcast. Check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, Podbean, Locked On NBA with David Locke. There's also Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. All 32 NFL teams, all 30 NBA teams all have their own Locked On podcast. Make sure you check all of them out. If you want to advertise with us, make sure you email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any inquiries there. And we will be back with you guys tomorrow night after the Wizards game. Thanks for listening.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.